So, to start us off, it's good to have Craig back.
Yes, it's very good, Craig. You have been missed.
You have been thoroughly missed.
We might have to make this episode featuring Craig. That would be really funny.
I wonder if anyone's actually figured it out. Did we mention it? Did we tell people who Craig was?
I don't know. No. Let's not. And I feel like we should keep that as just an air of mystery. Craig is here, but he doesn't speak.
He's one of the best podcast hosts I've ever... I think he's the best podcast host.
Dare I even say he's one of the boys.
He was even there for that wonderful episode we talked to Jeff Swampy Marsh. And if you want to listen to that, go ahead and watch our special episodes.
Because, you know, we actually talked to Jeff Swampy Marsh. Bless you, by the way.
Thank you. And today we've got a great episode, and I'd love to start us off.
I remember. Oh yes, intro.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb podcast. There's
360. Oh, that's such a lovely intro.
It's good to hear. It's good to listen to.
It's a vibing intro.
Making a podcast.
This is one of my favorite episodes. I love this episode so stupidly much. I think this was one of the ones I remember when we went through that period where we were like binge watching Phineas and Ferb before we decided on the podcast, but after we were like reliving the childhood memories. This was one of those episodes that we threw on while we were like having lunch or whatever.
And it was so good. It is
so good. And this episode begins a lot of the later series tropes that I really like.
Yep. Like Love Muffin is established.
Yep.
They open up with the boys doing something crazy, which it tends to be something that happens.
I like they establish Perry always like they establish playing around with
Perry's intro
with certain formulas and stuff. Perry's intro and deliberately like just leaving out things that you've come to expect, which is really good.
Doof greets is like. Your entrance is surprised, and by surprised, I mean, and then he wasn't sure. Because before he's got, like, your entrance is impeccable, and by impeccable, I mean completely impeccable.
Yeah, like that, and leaving Perry's entrance out as well, like, stuff where you expect the joke, or the Doofus Most Evil Incorporated jingle getting cut off. Stuff where you expect the joke that's always there, it actually just removes the joke, and that's just as funny. And then, of course, the beginning of probably one of my favorite tropes in the whole series... This is kind of the first episode where it properly establishes that the dad just kind of sees stuff and then...
Yeah, so before he's seen things and noted it, he's gone, oh, okay, that happened. That's kind of weird. But in this one, the boys are just asking him questions, telling them what they're doing and what crazy shenanigans it is. And he's completely okay with it because he asks the mum in a way that could be misinterpreted and she says yes. And so he's like, well... If she hasn't got any complaints, then there's no issues from me. And I like that.
And it's also it's like the beginning of that being a running joke. Like it kind of it appears in the earlier seasons, but it's not so much like this thing that happens often. And it is it's one of my favorite running jokes.
And
it's
it so starts funny. Off with the garage looks really weird. And the father walks up to Phineas and he's just like, all right, don't tell me, let me guess. You've turned the garage upside down. And he's like, you're right. We're looking for a skateboard. Because what's a better way than doing a thing than doing the hyperbole everyone uses as a saying to look for something? Like, I turned my room upside down looking for it. And they completely, literally turn the garage upside down somehow. It looks like they've literally got the room. And then put it in, they've lifted it up, put it on like a circle grid, wheels on each corner, and then revolved it because it takes time to go. That doesn't like.
Yeah, it literally like spun it around.
Gravity or anything. They've just rolled it around and let the car fall on its roof, let everything break, and then flipped it back. That place is still a mess. Like, you can't completely flip a room and expect the objects to come down safely and
just
not
fix themselves.
Be broken. Anyway, they don't find the skateboard, which again probably wouldn't happen because if you turn everything upside down, if it's in a cupboard, it's still in the cupboard.
I feel like they just wanted an excuse to prove that they could turn a room upside down while keeping it inside the house.
And yeah, which they did. And the dad knows where it is because he's on the Facebook.
Yeah. He's like, take a look here on Facebook. Grandpa's been ripping six skids over in the UK.
Grandfather's posting about his skateboarding. I don't have a grandfather, but if I did, I think watching them skateboard would be up there on things I'd want to see on Facebook. It might even convince me to get Facebook like that.
Right? Like,
that would be so cool.
Facebook is the worst of all of the social medias, and that is saying a lot because they're all pretty fucking shit.
Yeah, there's horrible social medias out there.
But I would probably be convinced to get Facebook again if I could watch videos of my grandpa ripping mad skids on a dirt bike or like... doing backflips or whatever. Like, if my grandpa was as cool as Phineas and Ferb's grandpa, then I'd probably get Facebook again.
Yeah, if he was English. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, the dad is amazing at CinemaSins because they're like, all right, we'll make this extremely complex machine and we will teleport that. We'll find an object and teleport directly to us. And they're like, he's like, why don't you just make a new skateboard? And they're like, I'll stick with the machine, Dad. Dad would be great at CinemaSins.
And I love their just their blank stares, and they're like, "That's like just not. What are you?
That's not how we do just, things here. Like, no. Get out of here. That's not what we do here."
So instead, they do the normal, natural, simple thing to do. They invent teleportation.
Yeah, and not any old teleportation. Better teleportation, because it isn't
teleportation
just
where you don't need a machine. The machine can be located anywhere and it just brings it there.
Yeah, because usually with standard teleportation, you need two. You need one from where you want to go and one where you want to be. And then you
that
can...
Or you need the teleporter spots. On you. Yeah. Like, if you want to be teleported, you have to have the teleporter with you.
And you put the input in and it gets said object and puts it back. But then it can also teleport things that it has to the other spot.
Yeah.
It's a very good machine.
It's a remote teleporter. Also, it can apparently fuse biological life together, which is...
Yeah, so it can mix two genetic... This thing is the best surgeon I've ever seen. Did you see how cleanly it put those legs on backwards?
Yeah. Like, not even a seam.
Yeah, it just seamlessly connects the two legs, and they work fine, and the nerves are all good. Same thing with the fly. It just merges... This is higher level than science fiction. This is the best medical robot I've ever seen.
That would be a very useful machine to have in hospitals, and the teleportation capabilities would be so good in revolutionizing the transport industry. Like, every large company is going to be making a bid for this because they just, like, when the stuff's ready to ship, they get their associates in the EU to just text them a picture of it, and they just chuck it in the machine, and boom.
Yeah, and can you imagine warfare? Just teleport a bomb into places. Teleport a bomb out of places.
Whoa, that's every good invention eventually gets turned into a war machine.
So not only can this be used as a weapon to kill lots of people, or it can be the best theft weapon in the world. Like, you just put a picture of money and the money's yours. Like, doesn't matter where it comes from.
I like how we have this weird, like, running fascination in this show about, like,
crime,
making Phineas and Ferb into criminals and or doing morally dubious things. Like, they would never murder someone with this teleporter, but they could. But they will steal their
grandfather's legs accidentally and then give them back and put them on wrong.
He was happy with his backwards legs. They were doing him a favor.
It also runs Photoshop very well. I just wanted to point that out because this, like, solidly relies on the idea of processing an image. And then he had the fly filter and he had to remove the fly. Where'd that fly go, by the way? Because it went inside Buford, and then he got rid of the fly filter, and then Buford was normal.
And the fly was just gone.
So the fly was deleted. Can you imagine a teleporter that can just delete things? Just
that's not a teleporter. That's a murder gun thing.
Yeah. They've made another death ray, another accidental death ray.
I love this show so much.
It does all this with two inputs via images, so you put in an image and it scans it, and an actual keyboard.
Yeah, like I literally wrote in my notes, press F sharp to teleport. if you just press F sharp to teleport a thing, I want to see what happens if you play an F sharp major 7/9.
Like, I want to see how you get it to remove objects on Photoshop. Do you know how hard that is on Photoshop?
They don't have a mouse either. So if they're doing they probably have to
put the images and press a chord on the keyboard and it does it for you.
They probably just play an inverted jazz triad and the image just Photoshops itself. I mean, that's basically what happens in real life if you play an inverted jazz triad anyway. Like,
life just inverts.
The ears of the people listening invert.
Anyway.
The real difficult part of this machine's construction wasn't actually building the machine. It was learning all of the like extended jazz chords they had to learn to Photoshop things.
Yeah, it was the insane amount of... hang on, give me a sec. Hello, my mother.
Hi, darling. I hope you're not in the middle of your podcast.
No, not at all. Don't worry.
Do you know how?
Swipe down, and it should say mobile data. There's like, oh, Lolly Hut. Oh yes, I'll pick that up before work.
I love Lolly Hut.
Well, then you should be connected to the internet.
Thanks,
sweetheart. Bye. So. We're back. Never get called on my phone, right? I'm not a call guy. I just got two calls in the one. One was mum, obviously, like she calls me. The other one was the Lolly Hut, and they're telling me my lollies are ready. So I'm very happy about that.
That is a very good call to receive. I'm not even mad that was in the middle of a podcast. Like, fuck yeah.
You know those sherbet lollipops you always see for like 20 cents?
Yes.
I ordered a 200 tub of those.
You said you were going to do that. The mad lad actually did it.
I'm picking them up before work now.
How much? Handing them out on your last day with the stickers.
Oh, I'm not handing them out to work. They can get fucked. They are for me and maybe for uni people. I'm not sure, but it's going to be in my room. And I just want to be able, if I want to, I just be like, yeah, take a lollipop. Or I just take a lollipop. Like a doctor's appointment sort of area, but just for me. And I'm rewarded.
Or like when people come over and they're your guests, they leave and you're like, have a lollipop.
You're like, have a lollipop. So then people leave with a smile on their face despite me telling them bad news. That's why doctors have it. That's why I have it.
That is such a cheap way to get daily serotonin. Maybe I should do that.
Exactly. Well, when we say cheap, I think I'm paying about $30 for it. But like for 200.
Cheap? Yeah, cheap for 200 lollipops.
I ain't complaining. Like I'll keep that for a little while. I'll keep you updated on how many I've eaten. Because yeah, nice. I have a strange feeling I don't think it's going to last me many eps of the podcast.
We're going to have a running thing every episode now, a little segment where I just go, hey, Joe, how many lollipops are left? So the current count is none because you haven't got them. But yeah, next episode, we'll find out.
Well, next episode will be less than 200 because I would have eaten one. Let's put it at 200 now. And the only reason it's at that count is because I've yet to have my hands on them. All right. This machine... very much a Phineas and Ferb machine. I wanted to point that out. They borrowed the keyboard input system and all the... forgot about all the coding. But all that, they borrowed that from the Haunted Mansion. Remember when they did it? But at least then it had an aesthetic. It was like the organ controlled the haunted house. This time they're just doing it because...
That was super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just doing it because they're good with keyboards. At some point, Phineas was like, hey, why don't we put a mouse on this instead of learning a bunch of insane music theory just to control a device that doesn't need to be controlled by a keyboard anyway? And Ferb's like, yeah, but you see, when we were designing the machine, we only put a MIDI port in it and we didn't put a USB port.
And he did the awkward stare that your dad asked. The dad walked up and was like, why don't you just have a computer mouse? And they just looked at him. Like, we don't do that here. We don't do that.
Did you know that MIDI was actually designed originally for computers? Mice used to use MIDI control.
That's cool. Mm. All right, you have access to this machine. We know what Phineas and Ferb do with it. I've already mentioned what I would do. Bombs, instant death ray, you know, all sorts of...
The normal stuff that an 18-year-old would do, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, easy. What would you do?
All right, what I would do, I would use it to commit thievery. And I would live my dream life. Would be like,
would you actually need to... guitar? What? Oh, yeah, car, yeah. It's because I was like, would you ever steal money if you could just teleport the thing to you?
Is that even stealing? I mean, it is stealing, but like,
but they don't know it's you, is it? Like,
yeah, what are they gonna do? They're like, oh, you stole this money. It's like, oh yeah, prove it.
How? Yeah, and just teleport them somewhere else if they ever come near you. Just be like, bye bye, have a nice day in Fiji. Free trip to Fiji. They'll love it.
Because also, money is hard to, like, money is possible to track. Money's easy to track, but if you just put a picture of like a new guitar that there's lots of, and it just gets teleported to you, and a music store goes out the back and counts their stock and there's one less, what are they going to do? Who are they going to, like,
see,
there is no way to prove it.
I just had a thought. So I've mentioned that it was Photoshop. It must have removed the background to pick the object out, but it can't completely remove the background because it needs to know which one of the things to get.
Yeah.
Because it gets Buford's exact bear. It gets the exact skateboard. There'd be plenty of skateboards with Union Jacks.
And then so it gets the specific one
that you capture. But like, how does a photo know the difference between that one and someone else's?
Good question.
I don't, maybe it's like who puts it in. Maybe there's like fingerprints or something on it.
Yeah, maybe it's analyzing a bunch of stuff on the picture. Maybe
well, it's,
I haven't got an answer. That's some Phineas and Ferb magic.
Yeah, it is Phineas and Ferb magic. And I think they get some of it from their granddad. Because when the granddad gets handed lemons, like, I mean, life's huge lemons, his legs first disappear, well, his feet, and then are put
metaphorical
on
lemons, not literal lemons.
Yeah. And his feet get put on backwards. Instead of going, oh my God, my feet are on backwards, this is a serious issue because, you know, this is weird, he just gets up and walks backwards.
The exact quote is, I can see where I've been now.
Which is actually not that useful or whatever. And I'm like, this is great.
It's like,
this,
you can't see where you're going, but at least you can see where you've been.
Exactly. This man can make lemonade out of anything. And we don't ever see him.
This
get
boy
his
this boy got handed like a solid Mike Tyson punch to the face and made lemonade with it.
Yeah, and he just smiled through the broken teeth and was like, this is where I wanted to be. Now I get to go to the dentist or something like that.
Optimism 101.
So instead of doing all the horrible things we would do with this machine, they just were like, you know all those crazy stunts we like? And they're like, yeah, you know how we have to set up that safety net and like that foam pit and stuff like that? You know, let's not bother with that. I'm like, oh, what are you going to do? I'm going to shoot you into the sky at 100 kilometers an hour and teleport you back onto the ground safely. And they're like, yeah, sounds like fun.
Conservation momentum. That's the concept, right? That doesn't exist. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's something I meant as well. I was like, it just does it without momentum. It just gets the object and teleports it there, which is weird because where does that energy go? You can't just destroy energy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If you think that Phineas and Ferb can't destroy energy, like,
and create it, yeah, you just they break the biggest
fundamental laws of the universe. Of course, they can do that.
Zeroth law of thermodynamics. When Ferb's at the top of that huge ramp, the bird that always
exit.
That gives them a little exit, and I'm like, that's a little nod to themselves because always hits things.
That's what I mean with this show, like. This is an episode just full of subverted expectations.
It's just
like they've spent almost two seasons establishing that the bird hits the thing, and now they're like, wouldn't it be funny if it just didn't?
Yeah. I mean, they made a thing that the Phineas and Ferb had both noticed, this bird always hits their things. And they're like, instead of putting this bird through the pain or just getting it smarter so it flies around, we're going to make a hole so it can fly through.
Because they'll make a teleporter that could easily be used in warfare. But they're not going to inconvenience a freaking bird. That's barbaric.
That's insane. And so, yeah, they just slingshot each other up and then get teleported to the ground safely. And all's good. And everyone gets everything they're missing, including Baljeet and his uncle, despite his uncle going on vacation.
He was like, my long-lost missing uncle. And he's like, no, I was on vacation, Baljeet.
He's like,
well, were you having fun? He's like, I was.
I was. They can send him back.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Meanwhile, with Perry and Doof, one of my favorite Perry entrances in the whole show. So good. Perry just walks in and Monogram goes, nice entrance, Agent P. Super understated.
Nice.
He just walks in, and after like two seasons of all these dramatic entrances and shit, it's just so funny to just watch him like walk through a door.
Anyway, it turns out all the mimes are trapped in invisible boxes.
Yeah.
And there's like 30 mimes in the park, which is so many.
I've never even seen a mime in the park. That's not really a thing over here.
Yeah, no, we don't really have mimes. And then instead of it took them a while to figure it out. I love that. Because all the mimes pretend to be invisible boxes anyway, so no one took notice when they were actually trapped. Instead of the mime, I don't know, saying something or like looking distressed, they just kept it up.
Well, he's in a box, so the sound doesn't get out, so he can't say anything.
I think you could, if you're a mime, make it really look like you were trapped in the box, like really look. Because when mimes numulate, they're usually expressionless, they don't say anything. Like, I'd be screaming in that box. And either people would think you're amazing at being a mime and give you more money, or they would see that something was seriously wrong.
You get out of the box and, like, at least you're a millionaire because people have been giving you lots of money.
Yeah, they're like, oh, my God, have you seen that mime down the street? Why, he looks really trapped in his box. And you're like, no, I've seen that like 1,000 times. And he's like, no, we're talking really. It's like, what do you mean? Well, he presses his back and his legs against the wall. Literally nothing's touching the ground. And he's just floating there. And like, oh, my God, this is insane. How does he do it? It's like, we have no idea. One day, I tried to poke him, but I couldn't. There was like something that was stopping my hand, like an invisible box. It's crazy.
He's that good.
He just makes the invisible box. A bit like Mr. Mime and that Detective Pikachu.
I think. Oh, God, that was good. That is.
That was fun.
Detective Pikachu had no right to be as good as it was. We're making a Pokemon movie, and I was like, I'm so on board for this. And then they're like, and it's going to be a Detective Pikachu movie. Pikachu's going to be voiced by Ryan Reynolds, and it's going to be set in a realistic setting. And I was like, what? Oh, my God. This is like, you know, when you hear about a movie and you just know it's going to be a disaster? It was that. I was convinced that movie was going to suck. And then it came out, and it's really good.
Like, it's good. I smiled watching it, which is fun. Anyway, invisible boxes, once again, would be very useful.
Transport industry.
I
don't know why that's where my brain first went, but like you'd be able to see products.
But I was thinking scaffolding, but then I went maybe walking on air.
Yeah, when I am on scaffolding, I want it to be easily visible. I want it to be stable, and I want it to be quick to put up and take down.
You know those skyscrapers with the glass on the ground?
Oh, is it like, terrifying?
You
wouldn't even see glass. It'd just be nothing.
Just literally nothing. That's
so cool.
I watched a video where someone made the glass. They had like a screen or something underneath it, and it made it look like it cracked as you walked.
Like pathway that goes around the side of a cliff, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was, that's just so evil. That's just so mean.
That is so mean. Like the people all ran to the railing and like lifted their feet up, and
so they're on the railing. They're like, good. Oh my God. And it's like, no, it's just a prank, bro. And I'm like, yeah, but
that's psychological warfare. That's the prank.
Is having glass from one end to the other. that's the joke.
Yeah. Cause you get one crack and it's like, where do you run?
Like you're dead. Alrighty. I think we're on to the next one.
Yeah. Oh, I've got one more. I absolutely loved how Linda roasted the shit out of Candace, where Candace was like, oh, what's the use? You're just going to come home and then the machine's going to inexplicably disappear. Then you're not going to be able to see it. And then you're going to think that I'm insane. And then Linda's just like, yeah, that does seem to be a pattern, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does seem to be happening a lot. It's like, he's not trying to defend us.
I love how just deadpan and savage that is. It's great.
It's like, I love you, but you are, as all evidence states, batshit crazy. Anyway,
next dancing. Episode, Nerdy Dancing. Another banging episode.
Candace puts too high expectations.
Yeah, Candace is a bit much.
But
Jeremy still tries to meet them.
He handles it, well, not like a real man. He handles it like any clever person would if they lived with Phineas and Ferb just in the backyard. And the thing is, if you have a problem, go to them. They will fix said problem. It's foolproof.
There's nothing they can't do, so why wouldn't you ask them to help you with things? So there's a dance competition, basically. Yes, Candace wants to go in it, and Candace wants to win. We'll come back to that later. Okay. So Jeremy's not confident about his dancing. And
no, he could do it in the ball because he did dance with.
Yeah, like he could do it in a school auditorium, but not like on a big show and stuff. And I love how, this is a show of basically flawless characters, apart from like maybe Candace. Like everyone's pretty fantastic. Yeah. Phineas and Ferb do no wrong, have no character flaws. They're beautiful. Like, yeah, they're the best. And it would be so easy for Jeremy to just be like the perfect boyfriend stereotype. But even the perfect boyfriend who's so good, he still has his insecurities. He still has these things he's dealing
with. Yeah, he's like, I've danced with Candace before. It was great. Like, it was at the auditorium. I did all right. And he did do well, I'm pretty sure. And now he's like, but this is a bit too much for me.
There's more pressure and I'm nervous about it. And I'm like, being nervous about it means that you care. And that's sweet as fuck.
Anyway, so he goes to Phineas and Ferb and he's like, I'm a little insecure about this. Can you help? And and they're like, well, first of all, watch Ferb dance, which I liked. Ferb gets to show off, and boy, can Ferb dance.
Can he dance?
He dances so well, it makes music just appear. There's no speakers or anything, and Phineas is just
but
there.
But he's not dancing to his own beat, because Phineas can hear it. Phineas is bopping along.
Loving it. I, for all the good animation that is on Ferb's dancing, there is so much more of just watching Phineas bop along. Like
the way his head bops.
So enjoyable, but the way his head just bops and he's just like, yeah, this is the stuff.
Have you ever seen those edits on Instagram? Usually it's Instagram or Twitter, where a character like dances and it's almost a perfect loop. Usually it's an animation. So they put like a slower like pop song over the top of it and then they give it like a sparkly filter and they loop it and they just like bop it along dancing to the song. You could totally use Phineas for that because his dancing loops.
You know what? We will see that trend on our Instagram because I think we should make it for our snippet. That'd be hella cool.
Sweet. Sweet.
All right.
I've got written, how the hell does Ferb's anatomy work?
Yeah, I liked how he was balancing off his nose.
Yeah, that's the bit I had in question as well.
Yeah, his nose is a lot larger and flatter than ours, though. Yeah. But he also, like, bent his neck and back to, like... Yeah.
Stupid proportions. I also pointed out when he's shaking his tushy and he like up to the left and then up to the right and it's like, what is going on with your torso? What is underneath those damn overalls? I'm so confused.
Yeah, his overalls go up and down as well. Like his clothes get longer and shorter. And then, yeah, so they're not human. We've established this before looking at the skeletons and stuff. Definitely not human. But, you know, had a lot of fun. And he sticks to the walls as he dances up them. Well, to the tree when he dances up it.
Yeah, how does, you know, any of that work? I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to invent boots that allow you to, like, do that sort of stuff. But the thing is, he didn't look like he was wearing them. So,
yeah, no, they're just his normal shoes. Totally think they're alien. That's how they'd have to do it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Demigods that we know them to be. Anyway, so they give him an exoskeleton and they're like, wear this tonight. Ferb will dance in the background. Classic sitcom 80s style thing. Like you've seen it before. And you've seen it here first, obviously. All those episodes where they're like, I'll do the thing because I can do it. And you can pretend to be me. It started from Phineas and Ferb. Everyone else went down to the vault and was told about it.
Obviously, as we've established, Phineas and Ferb is responsible
and yet
for
we
all
get
media.
Another one where James Bond is completely ripped off Perry the Platypus.
Mm-hmm.
So Perry and Doof are on their adventure.
Perry interrupts the Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated jingle, by the way. We mentioned that before, but I really liked that joke.
And he's making the cooking, and Norm rips shreds into Doof.
Norm is just on savage mode this episode.
Talking about interrupting the Doofenshmirtz Incorporated theme, we should do that with the soundboard. So, yes, do that before when you just said...
Okay, cool. I'll edit it in.
Because you said, I liked how he interrupted Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated. It would fit really nicely in there, I think. Perfect. God, we're funny.
Hilarious.
Anyway, so he rips shreds into Doof, and well, because he's making the potato salad, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. and he's making it. And he's just like, well, next time you can do the cooking and I'll make the evil plans that eventually fail. And he just stares him down as he's making the potato salad. It's like, nice.
Savage as fuck.
He just stands there and takes it. And he's just like, you cut deep there. Because they never succeed. And Norm knows it.
Mm. So okay. The reason that they're making potato salad.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about all this.
Love muffin.
It's the origin of Love Muffin. This is the first one where it gets introduced in the huge acronym that I did not write down.
I also did not write it down.
I think it's the lead of villainy and evil something, 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 something. It's pretty good.
The full name is The League of Villainous Evildoers Maniacally United for Frightening Investments in Naughtiness.
Nice. Investments makes it sound like they put money up. They're on the stock exchange. They'll get Reddit on their side.
The new GME is Love Muffin.
Love Muffin. Anyway, the thing I'm talking about, James Bond, Perry at one point, he's trapped down. The laser comes out of the roof and it's going to like cut him in half. And Doof says, I saw this in some
And not
movie.
Just cut him in half, but cut him in half starting at the balls, which is the worst way to be cut in half. Because you're alive to feel the first half of it. And the worst part of it, and then you die. If you got cut in half from the top, that would be fine because you dive really, really quickly, and then you wouldn't have to experience your balls being chopped in half. Wrong way, like they've done it the worst way. That's so evil.
Yeah, it's horrendous, and no wonder what's his face from James Bond stole it when they took him down in the vault because they were like, oh yeah, here's this really cool kill. We're going to ignore the fact that Doof says that he saw this in a movie and he didn't watch the end because he had something to do. Which, yeah, he obviously talking about something else. Not, James Bond is ripping off Phineas and Ferb, not Phineas and Ferb making a reference to James Bond.
100%. And if you have evidence that James Bond actually came before Phineas and Ferb, frankly, I don't want to fucking hear it. And I don't know why you're listening to our show.
Nick, get out of here. And then I've only got one quite funny implication left.
Mm-hmm.
And what about you?
I've got a fair few things, but a lot of them are synopsis stuff.
All right, tell us what happens.
All right, so they go... Love Muffin goes to the dance competition because none of them... The press are showing up. So everyone's all at the dance competition. I like how this show puts effort into having all of the people that are dancing be in the same BPM as the music. I think that's pretty neat. Like, that's a detail that... I mean, you know the movie Cats?
I think it would make it easier, wouldn't it? Just
yeah, it would. Animating to a temp track or whatever. That probably would make it easier. You know the movie Cats? They couldn't be fucked shooting the dancing in the same BPM as the track that was going over the top of it. So this movie is doing better than the movie Cats with the budget of $200 million. But and like, it's a children's TV show. Cats so like,
is more recognized as easily one of the worst films ever to exist.
That is true.
So it is a low bar, considering this is the best show to ever exist. But...
But this is also an animated show with a low budget, but this show clearly shows it respects music. Like, there's lots of little things. When people are playing guitar chords, they're playing actual chord shapes. When people are, strumming an instrument, then they're strumming in time. Like, there's a lot of effort in this show to make things fit the music, and I think that that's really cool. Yeah,
they do really like their music.
Mm-hmm. Because as we know from our conversation with Jeff Swampy Marsh, they're failed. I've already
plugged it once. We're going to plug it again.
I know, we're plugging it again. Jeff was like, we're failed musicians. And I put failed in quotation marks because I don't think having a number one hit like Phineas and Ferb makes you a failed musician. They're like the easy way to get a number one hit.
We gave up on being musicians as well, decided to be animators and went from there. And you know what? It worked out pretty okay.
It worked out pretty good because only one of us has been on the top 10. Just saying, Jeff.
And only one of us makes a podcast about the other. So
yeah, exactly.
Okay, my
one day I hope there's a podcast made about me. That'll be when I've made it. That'll be good.
Anyway, so Major Monogram says to Perry, "You need to stop Love Muffin because they're going to make an announcement of evil, and we can't have that." And he, I believe, gives him permission to kill from that on point onwards.
Yeah,
this is where...
You know how James Bond is authorized to kill by the Queen. Yeah. That's yet another rip-off of Phineas and Ferb. Exactly. Perry the Platypus is authorized to kill.
This is the episode I think he gets the license. Because, boy, does that boy murder. He gets, like, 7 to 10 of them. He just drops shit on their heads and they die because their head goes straight.
Yeah, Perry's literally committing murders.
And they are, they don't start moving afterwards. We never see them again.
We see they Doof die. And the other one in ICU, but the rest of them, dead. He killed them. 100%. There's one bit where a letter from this show's stage design lands on this chick's head, and it just, like, rips her head down and buries it in the floor. And I'm like, her subscription to Life is ended.
Next snap. There. Caved in and then face caved in as well. Like it's all gone. She is dead. And so I've written Perry, Agent 47. Assassinating people.
Perry the Platypus, License to Kill. Now, Tom Cruise, if you decide to invest yourself in our project, and I really think that you should, we'll let you kill actual people, like on camera, for Phineas and Ferb. 100%. If you're looking for volunteers, I'll play a member of Love Muffin. You can decapitate me. I don't mind. For realism.
What a way to go out.
Because he does his stunts for real.
Yeah, it's like you think
that includes the murders.
We just got some random people to stand still while Tom Cruise
just
very
heavy the whole movie on that. We went to some island where it's technically legal to murder for a show production, and we let Tom Cruise just punch someone so hard in the face that their head exploded. Would you want to see that? Come to the cinemas, see Phineas and Ferb the movie.
Perry whips out the coat, he puts that over the guy, and then pulls out two swords, like just two swords, and he just cuts along and it falls on the guy. And they had to put the cloak there so he couldn't see the mutilated body underneath, I think. Because, damn.
In this live action movie, the role of Perry the Platypus will be played by Tom Cruise with a shotgun.
So after all his stunts, he pulls a shotgun out of nowhere. Like, someone obviously hands it to him off the side of the camera. But, like, he doesn't
know that.
He
just, like, pops some pellets in someone's head. Like, just full-on brutal violence. The whole movie is G-rated. The theatrical cut cuts away, but the home DVD release doesn't cut away. R18+, blood splatter on the wall.
So it's just Disney will watch the cut in cinemas and be like, oh yeah, no, this is just a normal Phineas and Ferb adventure, but live action with Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah, 100%. And as we know, Disney will sign off on the concept of Tom Cruise literally murdering people on camera, because Disney's fine with...
Yeah, no. So they'll see the bit where he doesn't kill people on camera, and then we'll do the director Snyder cut once everyone...
Oh, we'll do a Snyder's cut thing.
Oh, by the way, we've also got this version of this G-rated film that's R18+, where you get to see all the deleted scenes of Tom Cruise hurting himself and other people. And people
release
will be like,
the Perry with a shotgun cut.
We have a Twitter storm, and then we just release it, and it comes out straight to DVD.
Release the Perry with a shotgun cut. R-plus film ever.
It's gonna be so good.
Oh my god. That is so good. Another thing completely unrelated to the murders, Doof's Charleston's pretty good. Like, he's dancing. He was doing this, like...
Hey, they're pretty basic. They're all right. And then he's Charleston. He just
whips it out, and he's, like, absolutely destroyed. He's got the cane. He's got the hat. He's like, look at me. I'm doing great. And it's like, yeah, you are.
And then they were like, no, we only want contemporary here.
Like... This is an 80s themed show. Can you hear the disco track? We ain't here for a fucking 20s
dance until you're sick or something.
Yeah, it was called Let's Dance Until You're Sick.
Let's Dance Until You're Sick, yep. That's not very Charleston. That's very...
They were apparently sick of outdated dances, and I honestly don't get it, because the Charleston's a good move.
And then... Jeremy obviously wins because Ferb wins the dance.
Actually, briefly, I wanted to mention, with the lights going off.
Yep.
The members of Love Muffin are literally cheating and throwing people out of the way, and no one's stopping them. And also, they just walked in and joined the competition despite not signing up for it. In conclusion, this show has absolutely no security. All I have is underpaid interns sitting at the lighting desk being like, "Ugh, guess I'll turn that off. Guess I'll turn that off."
It's a horrendous security, like, horrendous.
People could just walk in. Like, what's up with that?
If Candace really wanted to win, all she had to do was push people out of the light stand until it failed and push the next one out. Like, Jeremy won because the bad guys went around and just, like,
eliminated. And didn't push it out of the way. That was the real reason.
Terry cleaned them up and like straight up murdered
them.
When
we say clean them up, we mean like fucking clean them up.
So
like
then Jeremy was the last person standing. He was literally the last person standing. Everyone else had their face through the floor because Perry had killed them. And then he does the splits with Ferb's help, with the
If my legs were unexpectedly made to do the splits and I hadn't actually been trained as a dancer and wasn't actually able to do that, I'll be honest, I'd be screaming.
Yeah, I'd be screaming. It would rip something. Like, that would hurt. Like, it genuinely would hurt. And just takes it in his stride.
Yep, just, he's fine.
He's just fine with that. And then
Ferb also moonwalks up another wall.
Yep, because he has to make his exit because there's a lot of people looking at him. And so he's like, all right, my time to leave. Let me moonwalk up this other wall.
I'm sorry, you've had a number one hit, Ferb. Since when do you have stage fright?
Yeah, just dance some more. Like, bro, you've been doing it all night.
Have the spotlight. Let Phineas be gone and just take the spotlight for yourself a little bit for once. You deserve
And then every week come back and entertain these people with your mad dance skills.
Yeah, and it's like it's like a small commitment each week. You just rock up in an outfit and just dance for 20 minutes and then leave. Like, you'd have a great time.
And at the end, Candace takes the leaf out of Jeremy's book and says, no, I didn't need us to win. I just wanted to spend time with you. And I'm like, that's bullshit, but I'm glad now.
I'm glad you're taking a leaf out of Jeremy's book, but here's the thing. When Jeremy does it, it's a genuine misunderstanding. When you do it, it's gaslighting.
Yeah, because she was like, we will win. I want to win. And like, this is extremely competitive. And
yeah,
actually,
I don't think she ever said that she wanted to win. Like, she explicitly said, I like want to win. She was just like, we're going to win. I think she just thought that they were going to do good and she was confident. I don't think she was actually like insisting that they win. But also, yeah, you're right.
If you're confident enough to say that you're going, anyway, then at the end, then I just want to spend time with you. It's like, could have said that before we went in. I might have not asked your brother to put an exoskeleton outside me and given me huge amounts of groin damage because I haven't been trained in the splits. But you know, now that you've told me, it's really good to hear. And they have like this little sweet moment and they walk out together.
I also like how Jeremy's a super honest and lovely person and admits to cheating.
Well, he did start a little bit, but it was only to like be nice to Candace. And at the end, he's like, no, I can't do this. I'm not coming back. I'm not a great dancer. The one who is Ferb. And he gives all the credit back. Stuff like that.
All right. I think that's the show.
I think we're done. We've got the outro. But before we do that, can you plug us some more, please?
I can do some plugging because I love plugging. If you want to listen to that Swampy episode, you should go do that because it's a really good episode.
God.
It's the start of season 5. I really love that episode. Also, if you want to find us, hit us up. Send us a letter. We are at theimplicationsofphineasandferb@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram. We are theimplicationsofphineasandferb. You can find us at TikTok and Reddit and Twitter. All of those links are in the description, along with an amazing caption written by Joseph, which we always appreciate. I'd like to have a moment to appreciate the captions. You always write some good ones. It's real good. Have we got any letters this week? We do not. So that's unfortunate.
Sad times, but...
But if you're listening... You can change that right in. Say hi. What's up?
Yeah.
And that's the show.
Yeah,
Outro
and
time.
I'm moving Friday.
Oh, Joe's moving. So there may not be an episode next week, but we should be getting back into the regular schedule.
And I'll be, so gap year is officially finished as of the Friday this comes out, maybe depending how quickly we are at making these things. And so, sad times, I guess.
Sad times, but also like it was kind of a weird and difficult gap year because of COVID, so it wasn't like an actual gap year, really.
Remember thinking at the start we could travel?
Yeah, we were like, let's go to Europe, it's going to be great.
That's what everyone
the universe was like, get fucked.
And they were like, yeah, you know this. And then we saw it in China, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't think this is going to
be fine. It's not even a big deal. It's not even anything.
Surprise, it's everywhere else, and you can
actually die. It's a pandemic. You know that once-in-a-lifetime thing? Yeah, it's going to happen at, like, the time in your life when you want to be the freest. And I'm like, fucking fantastic. Love that. Anyway, thank you for listening. Outro time.
The implications of Phineas and Ferb. Listen to it whenever you can.